Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us. It is the live Between the Ropes broadcast. Brian Fritz along with Michael Wiseman from BetweenTheRopes.com. Glad everybody is joining us. Finally following Raw coming up later on. Daria Baronato from Tough Enough fame and also from UFC AfterBuzz TV. She's going to be dropping by. If you're watching us right now, please subscribe to us here on YouTube. Just click that little subscribe button and feel free to share us, like us, and also feel free to take part in the chat room, which is available right now. Ask your questions. We'll get to some of those later on. And we're going to talk about what has been one of the weirder, stranger days when it comes to wrestling news in quite a while. We'll be getting to that a little bit later on. But first, we have to talk about Raw. And also, I am hoping that everybody can see me right now. I think that everybody can. Let's just keep our fingers crossed because, Michael, can you actually see me right now or not?
I cannot see you. And it's really weird because I feel like I'm talking to a disembodied head, right? Actually, a disembodied Between the Ropes logo right now, which is super bizarre. But I'm not entirely convinced everybody else can see you either because I just checked it out on the YouTube page. And yeah. You look like a disembodied head there too. So we were worried it was me. I was super worried tonight because I got a new setup going on in my room.
So let me ask you this.
Okay.
Rather than, I'm not going to stop the broadcast, but can I pop out and then pop back in?
Sure. I mean, you can try to open it up in a new browser window, open it up in a different browser.
Okay. But is that going to kill the broadcast or anything? Mm-mm. So
I don't know. What I would do is I would just open up. You're using Chrome right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Try pulling up Safari and going into it that way. It should let you be in here twice, but see if maybe using a different browser without leaving. You know, you don't have to leave.
Ooh,
but
that's a good trick.
Just open it up. Or you can always use the old incognito browser, which people use to look at naughty things on the internet. You can use that for actual real purposes, too. It's pretty impressive. Brian! Did I lose you? Oh, no. Maybe I'm a... Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, man. My computer...
Fritzy. I mean, I think if you're watching this show, you should give me a shout out in the
That's
chat room.
That's not good.
If you're watching this show, give me a shout out in the chat room. I think for once, I'm not having the technical issues, which is a miracle. I will say this. If you're still watching the show, and I hope you are, I'm going to go ahead and kick off with our beer of the week here. This is the... Blue Moon Summer Honey Wheat Seasonal Collection. It is quite delicious. You'll see it right there. And it's in honor of summer because, as we know, summer is quickly coming to an end. Beautiful nights. Nice cooler weather. Yeah, time for the Wiseman Show. Locus813, you are the man. I don't know if Fritzy's going to join us back, but...
I'm trying to.
We're going to have the Wiseman Drinking Hour right here, right now. Between the Ropes is going to go on, so... Let's crack a bottle and get it started. Nope, not quite. We're working on it. Almost there. Okay.
I'm working on this.
Oh, man. This bottle is not
wanting to... Now that we finally got a guest joining us tonight, and this is acting all wacky.
You mean my bottle? Okay, there we go. Wiseman's Wise Wrestling Recap. So, I enjoy professional wrestling. It's something I watch. I've watched it for a long time. I'm going to go back a few years. Let's go back to the Attitude Era. Talk about a very special night in the life of young Wiseman. See, it was 1999, the summer of 1999, when one young Michael A. Wiseman, back then known as Mikey, attended his first live wrestling event. And I'm going to tell you guys something. When you're a young, impressionable 12-year-old, and you get to go to your first wrestling event, it is unreal. The old classic Charlotte Arena right here, about an hour and a half down the road from my house, not where they're hosting TNA's big event this year. That is the new Charlotte Arena, but in the old Charlotte Arena, they've torn down since then. I got to go to my very first wrestling event. It was the night after King of the Ring, 1999. You'll remember that King of the Ring, very special, because that was the night that we had The Undertaker and The Rock squaring off for the... Hey, wait, Between the Ropes is joined. Brian Fritz is with us, everybody. Holy crap. Whoa.
Whoa.
I can see myself in double here. I can hear myself in double as well.
Kick him out. Kick him out.
So I got to figure out what.
Ah, no, Fritzy. Anyway, I got to tell you guys. So is the.
Quickly, I need to.
What are you doing, buddy? You're killing me here. You got two of you. You got to kick one of them out of here.
Yeah, I sure do, man.
Oh, man.
I'm not exactly sure which one to kick out.
Kick out the one that you didn't just open
kick
up.
Out. I think I got to kick
the other one out. Can I finish my – let me finish my story. Here. This is weird. I'm going to finish my story. You figure this out. I'm going to finish my story. So what happened was
I'm going to mute this one.
Uh-huh. There you go.
Okay. Can you hear me right now?
Close that browser window, though.
Okay.
The
can
other
you hear
one.
Me right now, though?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, you're good. I can see you and everything. You're like in living color, baby.
I don't know. I'm hearing myself double.
Well, do you have the other window open?
Hold on 1 second. Where is that at? There
not the one is. You just opened. Not the new one you created, but the old one. Get rid of that one.
Get rid of the old one. Okay, yep. So get rid of this one.
Oh, snap! Almost said the bad words here on the show.
Did it work?
Oh, crap! We're back in action! Between the ropes! Whoa! Whoa!
I don't know why that thing was acting weird, but...
Whoa!
Yeah, okay. That's good. At least it's working now.
I was telling stories, man. I was telling about my first wrestling experience live.
I know. I was listening to everything there. I was still tuned in, so...
It was exciting.
Yeah, I don't know why by our good friends with Chrome were not working well, but Safari now coming to the aid.
Man, there you go.
That was getting crazy. You got the Blue Moon rocking there.
That's right.
How are you drinking a Blue Moon without an orange slice on it, man?
Because I'm not hipster enough, man.
Apparently not. So let's get into a little edition of a show on Monday night. It's called Raw. Because I'll tell you what, I found this to be one of the stranger editions of Raw that we've seen in a little while. This one turned into like a flashback show that was all about sports entertainment. And because, you know, if you want to talk about sports entertainment, it doesn't get any better than like Boris Malenko back in the day, or at least JBL said that during the broadcast. So I'm still trying to figure out exactly what I saw on Raw tonight. I don't think it was like a train wreck of a show, but at the same time, it seemed like a filler show, like nothing much got accomplished other than we now know that Seth Rollins is going to defend both of his championships at Night of Champions in a couple of weeks. What did you think of the show?
I thought that it was a show. It was the come down show we've been waiting for, right? We had that super hot show last week. We had hot shows leading into SummerSlam, and it just felt like it was about time for us to take a step back, regroup, you know, sleep a little bit, rest a little bit, catch up on a few things, and kill our time until maybe next week or the week after when we bring back a good show.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean, there was just a lot of weirdness going on the show tonight. You know, like I said, it was sports entertaining. From, you know, obviously we've got that main event spot, but the stuff between Dolph Ziggler and Summer Rae was, to me,
weird.
Totally strange. And I'm not even sure what to make of it. I guess they're trying to go with this whole Summer Rae is making it up so she could try to break up, you know, Ziggler and Lana and create a rift there. But that's going to be one of the stranger segments I've seen in a while from a standpoint of – so. While Renee Young is finishing up talking backstage, we see Summer Rae sneaking into Ziggler's locker room. And then later on, we see her running down the hallway after leaving locker room. And Ziggler showing us that where exactly he manscapes almost.
Right. Yeah, he had quite the tan line going on. So
yes. And then so we got to see that. And then you know, later on, we had Summer Rae trying to explain what she was doing, and she was wowed by a naked Dolph Ziggler, and who welcomed her into the shower with water glistening off his body, off his perfect body, according to Summer Rae. And she decided not to partake, but Lana was totally upset. It's funny that they would do something like that regardless, but I mean, especially in the PG era that they would go there. And for a second there, I was really scared of the direction that they were going to go, because they could have easily said, oh, he exposed himself to me and he wanted to hook up with me. And instead it was, oh, well, he just kind of welcomed me in. And it was totally up to me.
Well, I guess the thing to me that I really felt kind of weird about was just this whole like, oh my God, she saw your penis. I'm so mad at you thing that Lana did. Like, come on. First off, she snuck into his locker room and looked at him when he got out of the shower. Big freaking whoop. So it just kind of rubbed me the wrong way that there was this big deal that Lana saw Dolph Ziggler's private parts. Not Lana. Summer Rae saw Dolph Ziggler's private parts and it made Lana so angry. Like, come on, y'all. We're all adults. There are these things called penises and breasts and vaginas, and they exist on people. And that's part of the human anatomy, right? This is 2015, not 1915. So it just was slightly, I don't know, just didn't feel authentic. It was, you know.
Right. So,
consenting adults. I mean, yeah.
By the way, I do want to warn you of something going on right now, because while the broadcast is working pretty good overall, I am having another slight technical problem. And the only way that I can tell you about it is just on the air where everybody sees it. For whatever reason, my mouse, not working. So you're going to have to stop the broadcast, basically.
Okay.
We get done.
Wow, this has been a night for you, Fritzy. I was worried about me, because what you don't see here on my end is I'm working off my MacBook tonight.
Yeah.
A new monitor. My screen is different. My webcam is up here. I had to buy an app to get my webcam to work with my Mac and all this. I was worried about me and Fritzy.
I'm sitting here and all of a sudden it goes, I'm looking at my mouse and it's not working. It's just connection lost. And I'm like, why is the connection lost? So I don't know what is going on. In fact, you know what? I'm going to change the batteries.
Okay. Can I tell some more stories?
No, we can still keep talking. I mean, this is kind of an on-the-fly kind of thing.
This is live broadcast, people. This is what happens.
This is the beauty of live. I'm just waiting for my light to go out or something. So
are you wearing your Samoa Joe shirt? That's awesome.
I am wearing my Samoa Joe shirt
tonight. Your Jamoa So shirt?
Yeah. But, you know, overall, I mean, with Raw, I mean, so you had that wacky segment. You had the Beat the Clock segment. And with the women, I hate the Beat the Clock segment. I find it useless, because the whole thing to me is, you know, you're going to have quick matches, especially with the women. I mean, how much have they talked about this Divas Revolution and, you know, trying to advance that? And then all we got tonight were these matches, once again, that were super short. Like Becky Lynch went just over 3 minutes. She won her match. Charlotte went 1:40 to win her match. So then we were going to get Paige against Sasha Banks. And Paige had to beat 1:40. So, and the weird thing was too, once they hit 1:40, it's like, well, this match was useless. You know, she's not going to be able to beat, Charlotte's time. So the match was just done. Like everybody just kind of looked at each other and like, all right, well, that was a waste of time.
Go home.
Plus on top of that, so Sasha Banks she's in a position where she could be pinned with 10 seconds left. And what happens? Her friends outside the ring drag her outside the ring so she can't be pinned before the clock, you know, expires or whatever. And they do it right in front of the referee, but the referee's like, no problem. Yeah, it's okay. You know, you could do that. It's really strange.
It was one of those episodes of Raw that – and then there was a lot of – I mean, yeah, we always talk about the false finishes. This episode had a ton of false finishes, and it had a lot of false finishes with big feuds. So to me, one of the things that really bothered me was – we had a couple of big matches that should have been at a pay-per-view taking place on a Raw that ended in a no contest. For example, we had Ryback defending his IC title against The Big Show on Raw. Okay, that's been a feud that's been in the making for a long time. And they had to have interference from The Miz, which, okay, it's The Miz. I'm okay with that, right? And then we also had this, we had what? Kevin Owens? We had, well, of course,
Cesaro. We had SummerSlam rematches, because we had Ziggler against Rusev. We had Cesaro against Owens. They gave away the Dudleys against the New Day.
Yep.
Which I assume that at Night of Champions, maybe it's going to be a triple threat and they'll work in the primetime players. But I was just like, wow, why are you giving that away already?
Yeah, it was weird for them to give us so many. It almost felt like they just put on all the matches they wanted to give us in 3 weeks for whatever reason to pad out the card some.
Yeah, that was kind of strange. You know, like, I'm not exactly sure why they did that. I mean, I know they got a lot to set up for Night of Champions, but it just seemed kind of strange that they would give all of that away already. Yeah, you know, I mean, but I'll say this, though. I mean, the Dudleys are one of the better part of the show. They had a good match with New Day. I don't know what was going on with Xavier Woods' hair, which was
interesting.
Quite the story. I don't know if that was like James Brown-esque or what exactly that was. But yeah, that was pretty interesting hair. But yeah, I mean, the rest of the show, I mean, the Sting promo that started the show was fine. There was nothing spectacular about it, but I mean,
he was putting over Triple H in a weird. Did that not strike you as funny too? He was like just praising Triple H, putting him over in this big way. Triple H is a great competitor, and he really earned that. Triple H had to cheat to win at WrestleMania. Like, am I the only one that remembered that while we were talking about it at the beginning of the show?
No, I'm with you there. I mean, they obviously, to me, are setting something up from a standpoint of, you know, they're setting up down the line Seth Rollins against Triple H. Because they even, you know, they did that with Stephanie McMahon, came out during the main event segment as well. So they're setting something, you know, they're setting up that match. It's just, when is that going to happen? Could that be something that happens in October, say at Hell in a Cell? Could it be at the Royal Rumble in January? I mean, but they are definitely, you know, setting that up. And it's something we've been wondering about for a while. I think
it feels like they're setting it up like soon, though. I mean, you said down the line, and I think Hell in a Cell, possibly. I think that you could see that at Survivor Series. If you want a headline match for Survivor Series, Triple H versus Seth Rollins could be the match.
Real quick note, I think while my mouse is not working, I think that I have found a bypass to this. So
okay,
I'll be able to actually control the broadcaster a little bit.
I'm worried about you tonight, buddy. This
I don't know what is going on, man. My Cubs got blown out tonight by the Reds. I mean, what the hell?
I didn't even know the Reds were a real team. It sounds like it's just a color you made up. So
the Reds are a real team, just like the Red Sox and the White Sox.
Okay.
I mean, you went and saw a team this weekend. It's called the Dash.
The Winston-Salem Dash, baby. That's right.
I thought that was just something that I played in a video game.
No. We have a mascot. His name is Bolt, and he has lightning bolts for ears, I guess, because the Dash moves real fast. So you got to come to Winston. Listen, Global Force Wrestling came to the same field at the Dash playoffs.
Did you go to that show?
No, I did not. It was on my anniversary. My wife wouldn't let me.
Oh, what a cop out.
Maybe go eat Italian food and drink wine that I spilled all over the floor. You know,
yeah, that's right. You did make a mess.
Normal things. Normal things.
Let's talk about a couple of the other things from the show. So we got to see the debut of one Braun Strowman, or Strowman, however you want to pronounce it. But we got to see him against Dean Ambrose. He looked okay. I mean, here's the thing with him, and it's nothing against him because he's very inexperienced. Okay. He was never even on NXT television, even though he was in NXT. And I believe he's only had maybe like a dozen matches, something like that.
Uh-huh.
But they're using him because obviously he is a big guy, but at the same time, I don't know how good of an idea it is just because he is so inexperienced. You're putting him in this role and the standards are different than what they were. I mean, big guy, like in the 80s, even in parts of the 90s, that was inexperienced and could just throw guys around. I think you get away with that. But now it's more of a worker company. It's more high work rate. You know? I mean, it's not NXT level when it comes to WWE, except for the pay-per-views. But you put a guy on there that's not that experienced and you're just trying to go with this big monster mentality. And, you know, it could be a tough road for this guy.
I think part of the problem is that he's not up to that work level, that work ethic. And they're putting him on a big platform real fast and making him the centerpiece of this whole Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns feud with the Wyatt family. And that concerns me a little bit because he's a big guy. But time and time again, it's been proven you can't just put a belt on a big guy. You can't just put a big guy into that main event slot automatically and have him get over. And they're having him beat up Roman Reigns, which I find incredibly surprising. He's dominating Roman Reigns. So it's an interesting spot. What I like about it the least is that it's taking the spotlight off of Bray Wyatt. And Vince Russo, God bless him, I actually agree with something he said last week. He was complaining about how Bray Wyatt has been misused. And I think this is part of the problem. You bring in this Braun Strowman or Strowman or whatever, you know, and you make him the focal point. And the focal point should be Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt is the guy that can do everything. He's the talker. He's the wrestler. He could be Money in the Bank or Royal Rumble winners next year, and they're misusing him, and it's not helping them to make this guy overshadow the entire team and Bray Wyatt himself.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing, man. I've been an advocate for Bray Wyatt, and I want to see them do more with him. It's just for whatever reason, they're just not certain what to do with him. I don't think they really understand Bray yet. And it's kind of weird how that's all working out. But, you know, now they got this guy in there. They already had him wrestling. I mean, you got this big guy. Why not save him until pay-per-view? You know, that way he doesn't wrestle on Raw. He's just the muscle guy on Raw.
Right.
You know, he's the muscle guy on TV. And then you put him on the pay-per-view. And then you get to see, okay, what's this freak going to be able to do once he's in a match? So, I mean, he did throw around Dean Ambrose pretty good, and for the most part, you know, Roman as well. There was a couple parts where you could tell that, you know, his inexperience showed, but it wasn't anything that was horrible. I mean, it wasn't Zeus level, let's put it that way.
Well, so the problem is the audience time and time again tells Vince McMahon, tells the creative staff, tells WWE executives, they don't want the big guys alone. They cheer for guys like Seth Rollins, like Daniel Bryan. These, like Dean Ambrose, these smaller guys who are explosive, who can wrestle, who make these very entertaining matches. Then you put a match out there that is Ryback versus the Big Show, and they crap all over it. It's not what they want. They don't want this lumbering, slow-paced whatever. They want to see some real action. I mean, maybe not Ring of Honor, maybe not the spot fest like some of these indie promotions, but some genuine good action that really carries a story. And these big guys, especially when they're inexperienced, I'm not going to say all big guys are like this, but especially when these big guys are inexperienced, they cannot carry matches in the same way.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's, you know, you're putting a guy in a position that could be pretty precarious because he is so inexperienced. I get it, but at the same time, is it fair to that guy? I mean, everybody wants that opportunity, but at the same time, are you really doing what's best if you're putting somebody out there that doesn't have that kind of experience? And maybe they'll do well, maybe they won't. You just hope it doesn't backfire, you know, come the end of the day. Sure. So, you know, outside of that, I mean, nothing really stood out on the show, you know, when we're talking about something being really spectacular. It was just kind of a paint by numbers, you know, let's not do anything too important here. I mean, we know that Charlotte gets the shot at Nikki Bella. And the weird thing is too, so now Charlotte's the number one contender. Okay. And she's going to be going after Nikki Bella and the Divas Championship come Night of Champions. Here's the problem with that. So Nikki's big thing is she's going to be the longest reigning Divas Champion of all time. That expires a week before Night of Champions.
Right. Why? They're just glazing over it. They just like, they put it out there and then they act like it's just going to happen. And she hasn't defended her title in like 2 months.
I thought she was kind of robotic tonight, too. She's standing out there, and they'd be like, you know, and the winner will be the number one contender to face Nikki Bella. And Nikki's standing at the belt, and she's like,
belt, yes, I'm proud to be champion.
You know, and it was kind of like that tonight. It was like somebody was programming her and giving her directions, like, act happy, hold title.
What is going on? I think it's weird. This whole storyline with her has been weird. The fact that we didn't get a title defense at SummerSlam was weird. And it just, you could build up so much with her having to fight to earn this spot to break AJ Lee's record. And instead, you just basically say it's a foregone conclusion. I don't understand what, you could even have them have the title match on Raw with somebody else. I don't know. There's just so many ways you could handle it differently. And it devalues, maybe the July 4th Japan show, maybe that was the last time she defended the title. I don't remember Locus 813, but there are so many ways you could build up the storyline better. Maybe we should ask Daria when she gets here what her opinion is.
Well, you know what the funny thing is that when she's going to be joining us, we're not going to be talking too much Raw with her because she's out on the West Coast. And guess what? Raw just started out on the West Coast 45 minutes ago. So she's watching the West Coast feed. So we're going to talk some Tough Enough with her and some of the strange stuff that happened today. It was one of the more curious days when it comes to weird stories in the wrestling business. Okay. And so we'll talk about all of that with her and get her thoughts about it. So, yeah, we realized after the fact, like, oh, yeah, she's watching the West Coast feed. And speaking of Daria.
Speaking of the devil.
Right now, look at that. There's Daria right now. Daria is joining us here, of course, a Tough Enough contestant from this past season, and she is a host of a UFC AfterBuzz TV. Daria, thanks for the time. How's everything going tonight?
Everything's going great. Thanks for having me, guys.
We appreciate, appreciate it. You're not getting mixed up in any of the small technical details that we, or, you know, issues that we had. So I'm glad that everything is working for you.
Let's reframe that.
The important part.
We had, Brian, those were all your technical issues.
Okay, that's fine.
Broken mouse, broken camera, having to restart. I mean, I don't know what's going on your end today, Brian. Florida must be a crazy place to be right now.
It is. I blame it on what was almost a tropical storm and everybody freaking out here. So
that's a valid reason. I'll take it.
Absolutely. So how's everything on the West Coast for you?
Everything's going great. It's busy, but good.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I said, you know, obviously host of UFC AfterBuzz TV and you're on Tough Enough. I believe I need to add to that. My understanding is also master bartender. Is that correct?
Yeah. Bar manager. Thank you very much.
Oh, wow.
Awesome. As well as bartender. I'd like to call myself the youngest bar manager in the history of bars. I'm only 21, so it's kind of odd. People are like, wait, how does that work? I've been working in restaurants and bars, well, restaurants, since I was 13 years old. And
But you never drank. You never had an ounce of alcohol before you were 21, though, right?
Of course not. What are you talking about? That would be so bad.
Right, of course. Good.
That would be horrible. See, one of the reasons why I know this, Michael, is because, you know, consummate professional doing a little research. And recently, Daria was on an episode of AfterBuzz TV talking about bar rescue.
Oh, okay.
Somebody
very nice.
Work. Yes, I was.
See, that, you know what that's called? Google search right there. that's all that is, Google search.
That's all it takes.
Yeah, so, well, let's, you know, we're going to get into some of the strange stuff that happened today in wrestling, but also I want to talk a little bit of Tough Enough, obviously, because you were on the show this season. Unfortunately, you got eliminated, I believe, in the third week, but what were your thoughts of the finals? We got down to the final four and then the final two and the winners on the show.
Yeah, it was kind of a crazy ride. Like I said, best experience of my entire life. Obviously, an amazing thing to be a part of, working with such superstars and divas like Lita, Booker T, Billy Gunn, Paige, Daniel Bryan, The Miz. It was amazing. Jericho. But seeing it come down to the final four, I was happy for two reasons. I was happy that Amanda was there, and I was happy that Josh was there. You looking over the season as a whole, you kind of pick out the people that you're like, okay, these people could deserve NXT contracts even if they don't win. And you gain a certain amount of respect for the people that you believe deserve a shot. And Josh and Amanda were two of those. Seeing Sarah Lee win, I wasn't upset about it. You know, I know why she won. She has the fan base. She has the popularity. And, hey, that's a third of what it takes to be a diva. So, I think she has a third of what it takes to be a diva. I think Amanda has, three of those thirds. And I think, same with myself, I think I have all those qualities. But, it worked out how it did, and I think that now is time for the rest of us to show why we deserve to be in the WWE.
And right. What are you doing right now to try to get there? Are you currently at a wrestling school training, or what are you doing right now for training?
Yeah, I'm training with Brian Kendrick. He's my coach. He's been my coach since the day that I got home from Tough Enough. I literally started training like 2 days after I got home, and I haven't stopped since. So I train with him at over at Santino Brothers School in Bell Gardens, and I'm just going to train my butt off until I get that phone call.
Nice. So has he taught you sliced bread number two yet?
No, he hasn't taught me sliced bread number two yet. Oh. But he's taught me some really, really cool stuff. The cool thing about Brian is that he's a really good teacher, but he moves really fast. Like, you know, you're just learning, which is really good for me because I need a speed course. You know, I want that fast pace. I want to learn all the stuff that I've been missing out on.
Yeah, you know, and that's the important thing is there's a lot to absorb, and Brian's been around for so long, and he's so well-respected, you know, as a guy that can go in the ring, and I think, you know, he's been an instructor for a little while now, so, I mean, he's a guy that, you know, obviously a lot of people are going to because of his experience, and I think he's a good instructor.
Yeah, Brian's amazing. He's just that guy that is so talented in the ring. I love his, like I said, his fast-paced but how he is in the ring, he's aggressive and fast-paced and really character-driven and character-based. And just learning from a guy like that, what better training could I ask for? I wouldn't want to train anywhere else.
A couple of the things about Tough Enough. So when it got down to the final couple of weeks, there was some cattiness between Amanda and Sarah Lee. There was a certain accusation actually thrown out at one point, a little thing called being a ring rat. Are you surprised that it got to that point on the show that it seemed to get really personal there?
See, looking at it from Amanda's perspective, it's hard because Amanda's this girl. She's athletic. She's beautiful. Some people only see that she's beautiful because she, you know, she is so pretty. They, oh, this pretty girl, she can't get in the ring and she can't throw down and she's not tough enough, blah, 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 blah. When really she is a tough girl and she's very, very athletic. So that kind of being overlooked on the show, I really think she needed to play her card. She needed to show who she was and really show who Sarah was. And by doing that, she used her knowledge and her sources, and I don't know if it's true. I don't know anything.
Right. Yeah, we don't either. I mean, just there's – I didn't even know about it. And then after the comment, I, like, looked around, and I was just like, oh, well, this is a rumor that's going around there. I hadn't heard this one yet.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, Amanda played her cards. It's a competition at the end of the day. There was a lot of, you know, dirty playing going on, and that's what happens when you're – fighting for $250,000 contract with one of the biggest companies, industries in the world. The WWE will make you do some you know, ballsy things.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of ballsy, I think one of the things that really strikes me as fascinating, Daria, is the of course, everybody's made a big deal about you kind of coming out on live TV, but I think what's so fascinating to me about that is just you have such a diverse background. You've been in different entertainments. Of course, we mentioned hosting AfterBuzz UFC, fighting in MMA. I assume you've done a lot of your own stunt work in these TV show parts you've had. So to pick WWE as your platform to kind of take a stance on, can you explain a little bit about why that was the choice there? Because you already had a public platform. People already kind of knew you and you've been in some different things. So why Tough Enough and why WWE?
That's a really good way to word the question. Yeah, when I was kind of up there and they asked me if I was in a relationship, I was completely taken off guard. And it's one of those moments where it's like, do I lie or do I tell the truth? And my instinct kind of just kicked in and I was like, it's always better to be honest, right? And it kind of just came out that way. And when I went back into the holding room, all of the top 40 contestants were sitting around, and I came back and I was like this, and they were like, what's the matter? What's the matter? What happened? What happened? And they knew it either went really good or really bad. And I was like, oh my God, I just came out on national television. Like they're going to air that. I just came out. And they were like, everyone's reaction was like, you're gay? What? And I was like, that's not the point, people. I just came out on national television. And so the first thing I did was call my mom, who she was one of the only people that knew. And I was like, oh my God, what did I just do? What did I just do? And she's like, Daria, it's okay. It's okay. You just put everything on the line for what you want in life. And it's what you've always done. And it's perfect. It's perfect. And I was like, how is this perfect? You know, I was so scared at the time, but my mom really helped to calm me down and just make me realize like you did this for your dream. You would never have done this for anything else. And she's absolutely right. Had that not been for the biggest opportunity of my life, I would never have done it. Not that I was scared to, or not that I didn't want to tell the world that I was gay, but it was a scary thing. And it took a platform like WWE for me to do it.
Have you seen, since kind of coming back to your normal life in the last, I mean, I know Tough Enough has been kind of a big umbrella over you for a while now, but kind of coming back to your normal life since then, how's it been? The same? Have people, you know, anybody responded surprisingly to it? Everybody, oh, okay, sounds good, moving on with their lives.
Yeah, it's kind of the same. I've had a lot of messages and texts and phone calls, like, hello, thanks for telling me. Nobody got upset or anything. It was just kind of like, why didn't you tell me? You know, some friends from high school were like, excuse me, like, why did I not know this? Yeah, so it was just kind of more surprised rather than you know, offended or anything like that. Right. It was all good. It was all positive. I went into like work and everyone was like, why didn't you tell us? So it was more just like, why didn't you tell us sooner? You know, none of us care. We all support you. We love you. So it's been nothing but positive feedback. And
that's good.
Yeah, I think that's just, it happens for a reason, you know?
Yeah, I think everybody hates to be the last person to know information about something. So it's just, it's not like they have a problem with it or anything like that, and they're happy for you. It's just like, why am I the last to know about this?
Right. That's exactly what it was. That's exactly what it was. And like I said, there was nothing but positive feedback. And even from people I didn't know, and I was getting tweets like, you gave me the courage to come out to my mom. You gave me the courage to come out to my dad. Like, I never would have been able to do it had I not. And like, what better feeling than that? Never in a million years did I think that I would be positively, you know, affecting young people or people in general. But to have this kind of fall in my lap from telling the world the truth about me, I mean, what's a better prize than that?
That's awesome. And it's the day and age, too. I mean, I think that's phenomenal that your story influences so many other people. And it's one of those things nowadays, it's like sexual preferences right up there with what, you know, not to lessen you coming out, because I think that's a very impressive thing, but just right. Society-wise, people are so much more forward-thinking about it. Like, well, what shirt did you wear today? What's your sexual preference? You know, we're kind of to that point in society where it's a lot more even-kilter, I think. But it's awesome that you kind of use that platform to encourage others to just be themselves and own all of that. So kudos to you.
Thank you. And, yeah, that's the general message. I mean, with the Caitlyn Jenner thing and all of that going on, and there's still a lot of adversity out there, and there's still a battle to be fought, you know, for people just – being accepting of right. others. So that's really the message. That's the bottom line there.
We're going to have you have a conversation with Mike Huckabee one of these days, I think. that would be an interesting one. Let's talk about some of the other news that's going on in wrestling today, because it's been a very curious
crazy day.
Whoa. Scary, right?
It's been weird. I think, Brian, I think we might have lost Brian. Brian's been having a few technical issues.
Let's stand.
Are you there, buddy?
Apology. Yeah, I'm here. I don't know why. I got a little buffering thing. So let's talk about Hulk Hogan this morning. He appeared on Good Morning America, and he apologized for his comments and everything. Did you guys get it? And we'll start with you, Daria. Did you get an opportunity to see that? And if so, what were your thoughts about the Hulkster's apology?
I heard about it, and I read the highlights. I didn't actually see it. All I have to say about that is that I was around the guy for a couple weeks. He was the nicest person ever. I think he's a legend in this industry, and he's shaped a lot of what the WWE is today. I think that everybody in their worst moments says horrific things that they don't mean. And, it's a shame, but you do have to be really careful of what you're saying, because you're a public figure, you know, you're on a platform, like you were just talking about, people look up to you. So it's a day and age with technology, anything, even your private conversations can be heard. So, you know, it's just something to be careful about.
I mean, I think that you hit the nail on the head. I got to give credit to Hogan for kind of coming out and owning it, and owning it as a person, owning it as himself, not just as the figure Hulk Hogan, but as a personal human being.
Right.
You know, Hogan's had some rough times lately. He's the divorce, the reality show, all of that stuff, and that doesn't excuse any of it. But he's become very honest and very humbled, I think. You know, he leaned a little bit on his youth and his upbringing and said, you know, this is the words we use on the street, and that I became very familiar with because of that. It doesn't excuse it. And I think we've talked about this before, Brian. Timing is everything. If this would have happened 5-6 years ago, it might have blown over when he was in TNA, but the platform he was on, like you mentioned, Daria, the platform he was on right now, it's a huge deal. And I think he's doing the right thing. He's coming out and apologizing in a very public manner and owning it. And that's all you can really do at this point. Hogan is a legend to this business. Hogan is he's done so much to build it. I hope that at some point, as wrestling fans and as an industry, we can kind of move past this. But you know, he still said it, and you know, good on him for owning up to that.
Yeah, I think the only thing that I wish he had done, and I assume that there's going to be a lot more interviews like this to come, or are you thinking it would be, but okay, I'm back. The only thing that I kind of wish he had done a little bit differently was if he had apologized to the African-American community, because I know you will talk about, like you said, Michael, about, you know, his youth a little bit, you know, and that was kind of commonplace to use that language. But that's something that I think needs to be pointed out. And plus, you know, when he got caught on tape, and mind you, it's horrible. You got, I mean, a private thing like that. And that's where it all came out from. It's all very strange how all that came out in the first place, but it wasn't like he was just talking about just the average Joe and that's why he came up. He was talking about his daughter's boyfriend who was African-American. So there is some negative connotations there. But, I mean,
it was very directed, which to me implies a little more aggression and a little more anger rather than just a passive comment about it.
Right. And I agree with you guys. I mean, everybody gets caught in your worst moments, and we all have huge moments that we regret. I'm not saying that he should be punished. He should be admonished. I do think that, you know, time heals all wounds, and as long as he does the right things, and I think he will, I think that he will atone for this. It's just, it's going to take a while, and I don't think he could do it right now. But, you know, even WWE put out a statement today, and they said now is not the time that we're going to bring him back. But it sure seems like it leaves the door open that, you know, after a while, after we see the actions that he does, I think he'll be welcome back.
I think so, too. I think this has opened the door up even more.
Yeah. You know, that's all I want to see. So hopefully, you know, he'll be back. I mean, they're not erasing the history of Hulk Hogan. They're not mentioning him on TV right now, obviously. But at the same time, I mean, you can go on to the WWE Network and you can still see, you know, all of his matches. I mean, nothing has changed from that standpoint. They're just separating themselves from him right now. And, you know, hopefully, you know, down the line, he will continue to, you know, make the right moves and sooner or later, he'll be back. I mean, hey, look at what happened with WWE and the Ultimate Warrior and some of the stuff that that guy said, and he was welcome back.
That's right. Darian, you're more in my age bracket, and we're a little bit younger than Fritzy, so I think this is a
Are you
a
trying
fair
to say
question.
I'm an old man? Dear God.
Oh, look at that. Oh, a Yorkie. What's his name? Him or her?
It's a girl, Melania.
Melania. Oh, who is your favorite? Who's your favorite of all time?
Oh, I've been watching so much wrestling lately that's like a loaded question. Okay. Probably Trish Stratus and or Lita.
Okay.
Are two of my favorite females. Males, oh, there's so many. I'm a really big Dusty Rhodes fan. Rest in peace. I've been watching a lot of Dusty Rhodes. Macho Man. Oh, I could go on and on. Ric Flair.
Well, before Tough Enough,
uh-huh.
You knew a little bit of wrestling, right? But you didn't really like jump into it 2 feet forward until you got into Tough Enough, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Coming into Tough Enough, I was really just an MMA fighter, an MMA fan who had heard about pro wrestling through a friend, and I was like, wait a second, this is my sport, this is my thing. Like you said, I've always been I've done acting, I've done hosting, so talking in front of people and performing has always been a huge passion of mine, and I've played sports since I was 3 years old, so it was kind of just the perfect combination of everything I've always done is what the WWE is what sports entertainment is. It's entertaining and competition in one, so I knew that I was going to love it, and being on Tough Enough solidified those thoughts.
How does it feel? Okay, so talking about that bridge, and I know Brian has a lot of questions for you, but he always gets asked a question, so I'm going to butt in today. Having that crossover appeal like you do and seeing both businesses, how do you feel whenever somebody like, we'll say hypothetically Dana White, likes to kind of besmirch professional wrestling in his own passive-aggressive way?
Dana White also said that women would never fight in the UFC, and that was like 4 years ago, and now Ronda Rousey's his biggest pay-per-view buy.
Sure.
We all know Dana White doesn't mean everything that he says. He just says. So I definitely don't take anything too seriously out of that. He doesn't know. He's never wrestled professional wrestling. He doesn't know.
Right.
But I can tell you, as somebody that's been in both the ring and the cage, that wrestling is intense, it's so serious, injuries are so common, and there's nothing fake about wrestling. That is about as real as it gets, and it's, like I said, it's painful. And I can compare and contrast the two.
was gonna say, I think as real as it gets was UFC slogan there for a while, so I don't know if we can say that one on the
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know what the funny thing is that I get where Dana was coming from, and I know wrestling fans hate that F word, but you know, it's Dana, you know, and I respect him for everything that he's done. But, I mean, you take it with a grain of salt. We could sit here and we all know that it's predetermined, it's choreographed, whatever. But, you know, that F word, once somebody blurts that out, it's like, you know, a mortal sin when you're talking about wrestling fans. It's something they like to rally behind. But at the same time, I'm like, I get it. That's fine. I mean, I don't say that, you know, but I'm not going to hold it against somebody if they do that. But people just, I mean, he was just pushing buttons and he knew it. And people love it. Like, oh my God, look at what Dana White did. Oh, that guy, how dare you?
Yeah. Like I said, I'm not personally offended by what Dana White said, but get in that ring for a week and then tell me the F word is even something that comes to your mind. Cause I can promise you it's not. And I'm surprised by it because I didn't know much about it coming into it. I knew what the general public perspective of it was, and I was completely wrong with so many of my assumptions. It is so hard. It is so technical, and it is so, like I said, it's rough. It's tough. It's the real deal.
Have you gotten used to taking bumps yet?
Yeah. Yeah. It's part of our daily routine at Brian Kendrick's. So it's part of the routine.
I heard Shawn Michaels describe it one time as kind of building up a callus on your back.
Because I know you've got to get used to
it. Like whenever you kind of take a break from it for a while, that callus goes away, and then when you come back into it, you have to build it back up. Is that kind of the way it is? Is that a good description for it?
That is so accurate. Absolutely. It's like anything. You don't do it for a while, and you're like, oh, that hurt. But once you get in the groove, you're like, oh, I can do these all day. This is awesome. And it's also finding that perfect spot on your back to land. When I first started, I was landing on my neck, I was landing on my tailbone, and I was like, okay, there's got to be an easier way. And there is. It's called doing it the right way, which is, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you got an opportunity, obviously, to be at the Performance Center when you were on Tough Enough. We got to talk about this incident that happened there today. So a guy that looks like he had some kind of mental illness and had been appearing over at the Performance Center and just – sometimes dressing up as wrestlers and banging on the windows saying, hire me, give me a job. And I guess he went there a couple of weeks ago and he had a chain and was swinging it around. So cops knew about him, WWE knew about him, and they had a restraining order against him and everything. And he had done some other stuff as well with them. But today was back over there raising hell, and a couple of cops came to the scene, and basically he, I guess, went after one of the cops. And they thought he had a knife, and they shot him. And he is now in the hospital. So it is a crazy story to see this, you know, and see somebody – because this guy was not only wanting a job there, but I guess he was infatuated with a female wrestler. Like in the past, it was AJ Lee, and then now it was – they were saying it's a female that was not here and not here on a regular basis. And I live here in Orlando. So I had a buddy of mine that was at that press conference, and it's believed that the person that he was actually stalking was Lita, believe it or not, and she was not there. This is a crazy situation. What did you make of this when you heard about it today, Daria?
Oh, my gosh. The first thing I thought of was being at the Tough Enough Barracks, which obviously was right next to the Performance Center, and there was constant traffic going through there. There was people that would drive by that had license plates that would say WWE fan. And you know, you knew there were people scoping out the area trying to see what was going on and waiting to see who they could meet or whatever. And thank God we had security out front. But it was always a concern of ours, like when we went out to catch a taxi or an Uber, security would walk us out. And we're like, why is security like walking us everywhere? Like we're in the middle of a warehouse units. Like no one's going to get us. And then we would see there's always people driving by and walking by, seeing what's going on. So usually it's super harmless, but in this scenario, like you said, that's horrible. So I was just praying that everyone at the Performance Center was safe. Obviously I have some friends there now, so I was super worried. I sent out a few text messages making sure everyone was safe and well. It's a sin, man, because you want to keep something like that open to the public, you know, because it's something that we'd like to share with them, but when stuff like that happens, you almost think, why don't we just gate the thing off and be done with it?
Yeah, it's really weird because it is It's in an area where the public can get to, but at the same time, it's kind of hidden off the road just a little bit. But if you look, it's not too difficult to find. And I know that they're pretty particular about who's coming by and everything like that. Like, I live here in the area, and even for media stuff, I have to go through WWE. It's not like I can just be like, okay, they're going to set something up and I can just show up over there. It's got to be a PR person has to be in town. They have to meet you, like right when you park your car to let you in and everything like that. And it's only gotten worse because, I mean, I've heard of some other stories, but it's nothing where it's been like stalkers. I know that some people have been there just to see who comes out of the building and maybe they've gotten a picture with somebody. So it's harmless, but at the same time, it's still supposed to be like a private environment to where, you know, they don't have to worry about, you know, fans. And you just hope that it doesn't happen too often where a lot of people are figuring out exactly where the building is. I mean, it's not that hard. If you look online, you can find if you do your research. But, it's supposed to be a place where they're just, you know, doing their business. You know, they go there, they train, and then they get out. And now it's becoming a place where more and more fans seem to be showing up.
What's it? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, we're talking about all this, the access and things like that. What's it like being on the other side of this? Because I know for us, we get to do interviews sometimes, and we get to be at events and see them. And there are those fans, like today, who just will do anything for a glimpse. They wait outside of arenas to see Sheamus or to see John Cena. Or tough enough, all of you guys had such a following as being a part of this show that the community grew so close to. What's it like being on the other side of the WWE machine like you were?
So yeah, we definitely got a glimpse into that life, and we'll continue to do so going in NXT and stuff like that. But, it's crazy. They are the most passionate fans I've ever met in my entire life. And being around the UFC so much for media purposes and being a fighter, I see the differences, and there's vast differences. There's no audience. There's no universe like the WWE universe. Mm-hmm. Fans are intense, they're passionate, and they're super knowledgeable. And they'll go to lengths to get autographs and pictures, which is really, really good for us because that's what makes our careers. And I'm a firm believer in being one with the fans because we wouldn't be here. None of us would be here. None of this would exist without them. So I appreciate it, and I love it. I try to answer like every single tweet, which people are like, why, what are you doing? Like, why are you retweeting everything? And I was like, first of all, I don't know how Twitter works. Second of all, why wouldn't I answer them? Like, they're asking questions about me. I'm just not about that. I'm above them life. Like, I'm not about that at all. So if they want to know what my favorite color is, I'll tell them what my favorite color is. You know what I mean? Like, there's no reason to separate myself from the people that got me here.
Right. It just gets a little crazy sometimes where you hear these stories about guys in WWE and they're like, they get off a plane and there's fans that know exactly where they're going to be and what airport and what time and things like that. That's where it gets a little scary. And I don't know if you heard about the story that happened last week at SmackDown, but did you happen to see the story where the fan jumped the railing and almost got Dean Ambrose? But a guy from security just put him down like a step before he got to Dean. And I don't know if the guy had a weapon or not, but I mean,
he had a knife is what I heard.
That was the talk, is that the guy had a knife. This dude was hauling ass. The fan just happened to catch it on video. This guy was just running through the crowd, jumped the barricade, was running towards Dean, got right up next to him as Dean was going back after a match, and like a security guy just popped this guy, dropped him, thank God. It's scary stuff like that. There's some fan out there with like a knife, which I haven't seen anything like that in like, decades.
Yeah, that's horrible, and that's really terrifying to someone like me who's just, hey, I want to talk to everybody,
Right.
So maybe when it comes to the face-to-face interaction, I'll keep my distance and, listen to my security at that point. But as far as social media goes, now, don't get me wrong, I've gotten some super creepy messages and some super weird tweets that, are completely wrong and stuff like that. But, you get that. You have that.
I get those all the time. I mean, it's okay.
Yeah,
I understand.
It just happens, right? It's just what I mean, it's for weird, creepy stuff. I mean, maybe at the point where it comes to like face-to-face interaction, I'll listen to my security.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The best part about the Ambrose thing was, so the guy gets tackled, and Ambrose realizes what happens, and he does this little sly Dean Ambrose-esque looking over his shoulder, and he's just kind of smirking as security is putting the cuffs on this guy, and he's got his face buried in the floor.
That's funny.
Dean Ambrose is great.
He's so eccentric. It's pretty awesome. We normally, I know we don't want to keep you all night, but we normally do questions for our audience. They ask us questions about the product or the show. I put it out in the chat room earlier to ask questions for you, Daria. And we had a few people write in, so I'm going to hit these pretty quick. Don't feel like you have to answer super long.
Get to some questions. It's no stalker stuff or creepy stuff.
What is your address? Can you? run by these really quickly here. Junior Baby writes in. He says, Fedoria, what got you into MMA? So what was kind of your impetus?
Yeah, so I was a senior in high school. I had played sports my entire life, but my sophomore and junior year, I took a break from sports. And by the time I got to my senior year, that adrenaline and that junkie in me needed it. And all the school sports had already started. So I was like, well, what can I do besides school sports? And I found MMA. I fell in love with it. And, you know, I did my first competition like 3 months later.
Have you ever gotten used to getting punched in the face?
Yeah. It's really easy to get used to.
Really?
I love it. I can't explain it. I try to explain it so much. Like, it doesn't, when you're doing something you love and your adrenaline's pumping and you're in the moment, like, you don't think of the pain. The pain's like the last thing you think of. So yeah, I'm used to getting punched in the face.
So do you like take it as a badge of honor when like you get done with training and, when you get done with training and maybe you say have a little mark or you've got a black eye or anything. I mean, do you like that?
Oh yeah. I think I take it as a bigger badge of honor when my opponent or my sparring partner has a black eye and I'm sure. Solid just sitting there. But no, I roll with it. Nothing, none of that bothers me. If you saw my face after my last fight, you'd be like, holy crap, she looks like she got hit by a car.
See, Brian, if you would just let me punch you in the face, you could have a badge of honor too, man.
That's true, man.
Come on, Bri, join the club.
I think the last time I had a black eye, I was 4 years old, and I had two black eyes because I was a hyper kid, and I ran into my bedpost.
Oh, Lord.
Oh.
Yeah, I think it was the first time my mom left me alone with my dad, and I think I fell out of bed, got a black eye, and then I started running around, and I ran into the bedpost and got a black eye in the other eye.
Ooh.
So when my mom came home, I had two black eyes and looked like my dad had beat me, which did not happen. Yeah.
Kyle Malone writes in. He says he wants to know what diva on the current roster you would most like to work with.
Ooh, Sasha Banks.
Hmm. Okay. Why the boss?
She's a boss. She's got that swagger. Like I said, I'm really passionate. I'm really intense. And Sasha Banks is like the most intense out of all the divas. She makes you feel when she gets out there, and that's what I want to do. So.
Corey Richmond writes in, if WWE does another season of Tough Enough, what would you most change about the process?
If I was on it?
I don't know. His question's a little open-ended. So I think going through the show, the way it was structured this year, I'm going to read into his question a little bit here. What would you change about the way the show was structured? Because this year was the first year they did the fan votes, was the first year they did all this kind of new social media stuff. What would you change?
Definitely the coaches having more of a say.
I kind of wish that the fans got to choose who went into the bottom three, and then it could have been up to the judges or the coaches to decide that who left the show rather than the other way around, because then it becomes just a popularity contest, and we saw what happened.
Yeah, I could definitely see that being a better solution. The coaches are the ones that were with us like all the time, the ones that were really putting in the time and the effort, Lita, Billy Gunn, and Booker T, and I think that they deserved more airtime, even more say in the future of the outcome.
It felt like, I mean, as a fan, as a wrestling fan, as a Tough Enough fan, it felt like the coaches this year were much more compartmentalized than they had been in previous years, because in previous seasons they were right there, they were helping make the final decisions, and this year was kind of like you got to the final third of the show each week and they were just up on the stage by themselves, and I don't know, as a fan, for me, I didn't like that as much.
Yeah, you look at it and you look at, like, maybe Vince and Triple H were looking for the next big thing, and maybe in that they were looking for who America likes, which I totally get because, like I said, a third of being that diva and superstar is having that fandom and having that natural connection with the people. And a coach or a judge can't really tell you that. So I get it. I get how they set it up. And but like I said, the only thing I would change is having the coaches have like a little bit more of a say.
Yeah, I think it was a little confusing when it came to the way that fans voted, from a standpoint that you had to vote for who you were supporting, and it wasn't for who you wanted off. I think some people were definitely confused by that.
The first couple episodes, I agree. I know a lot of people were tweeting me like, wait a second, I thought, yeah, blah, blah, blah. So I think by the third week, though, hopefully by the time I was in the bottom three, I think they got the hint. Or maybe they didn't, and maybe that's why I went home.
That's Ooh. Right.
There may be. Why ZZ lasted as long as he did? I don't know.
Right. Oh, wow.
Oh. Oh.
Shots fired.
My buddy ZZ, as I say. I'll tell you this story real quick, Derry. I went to a local NXT show here, and ZZ sat right next to me. And next thing you know, there's no air conditioning as we're watching the show. He's got a fan. He's fanning me. He's fanning himself. I didn't even know him before. So next thing you know, we're talking, and he's taking a picture of the two of us and tweeting it out. But at the same time, I think he's a likable guy. I just wasn't rooting for him on the show because I didn't think he respected the process.
Right. Yeah, you know, ZZ is young, and he's already stuck in his ways. He's the type of kid, he's got his routine. He grew up the way he did. And, you know, he's kind of like a hometown hero in his hometown. And I think he's so used to being in charge that it was hard for him to kind of take advice and change his ways. And I think the obvious change he needed to make was when all of us were in the gym rolling around on a medicine ball shouldn't exactly be the right thing to do. You should probably be on the treadmill working on your cardio or, you know, pumping iron with the boys or whatever it was, just trying to better yourself. And he didn't have that commitment, so to speak, that the rest of us did.
Did you know that he had already been on two reality shows going into Tough Enough?
Oh, yes, yes. We all know. That was a popular topic in the house. We had a joke going on in the barracks. We're like, when this ends, ZZ's getting a spinoff. There's no way. Like, he's hilarious. Like, I don't know that he's necessarily WWE material, but he is hilarious and could totally have an awesome reality show where people would tune in every night to see.
Would that just be called Not Quite Tough Enough? Is that
what... Yeah.
Well, yeah, that would be a good one. If you saw him walking around New York City the weekend of SummerSlam and some of the stuff that he was saying as he went to see the Statue of Liberty or was shopping and he was doing videos of himself, that was TV show worthy right there.
Oh, yeah. He's amazing. Like, and he's genuine. When he says things, you're like, wait, is he kidding? No, he's totally serious. He's genuine. And he comes up with the craziest one-liners. I mean, you might as well just call him ZZ Mr. One-Liner. I don't know. Come up with a good nickname because he's like the greatest at them.
ZZ One-Liner. We got I think we got one more question we'll get to from the fans. Frankie Salerno writes in, did you think that the Tough Enough competitors would have so much freedom, or did you expect to be more sequestered?
No, we thought we were going to be on lockdown. So I was like sending out my final text messages. And then they were like, all right, here's the deal. Production's taking over. You can have your phones when the cameras go off, blah, 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 and all that stuff. And we were like, wait a second. We can have our phones? And we all got so excited, which is so pathetic. Of course, we're all addicted to our social media. And so it was like, cameras turn off. Every night we'd be waiting. For someone like me, I didn't have any sort of like star power before I went on the show. Like a lot of the girls were bikini models or, you know, bikini models. And they had,
yes, like, there was a lot of bikini models.
They had like 700,000 followers coming into the show. So I was like, oh crap. Like I got to catch up. But then I turn on my phone and I'd see like, you know, 1,000 Twitter notifications. And I was like, what? I've never had more than like one at a time. So to me, it was like a really fun, cool process. And the other girls were like, oh, more tweets. Huh. I was like, oh my God, this is so awesome. Like, so it was kind of like a really fun experience for me. Like I said, coming from a less public background, but it also meant that I had to step my game up because they had like, you know, brands like, on brands.
They had a following already. You're
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And that's what scared me with the voting. I was like, are their followers from their previous, you know, hobbies and stuff gonna vote for them, or, you know, like, does the WWE universe is the only people that matter? Like, I was like, I got to step up my game and get some more followers.
I had no idea there was like this World Bikini Competition Federation or whatever. And then, you talked to Gigi. She was like, yeah, you know, I had met Amanda before, you know, and I finished seventh and she finished number one. And I'm like, what is going on here? I mean,
they knew Gabby too. They all knew each other.
Right. You know, Gabby had been doing stuff in Brazil, and then she came up here, you know. And it was funny because Gigi said, oh, yeah, the only time I've ever been in the States before was for a competition. I went to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
It's like
crazy.
I had no idea this even existed. That, you know,
I didn't know until I, like, moved into the house with them. And then, like, Amanda was like, yeah, well, I knew Gabby from – and I'm like, wait a second, you know Gabby? And they were talking, and I was like – they were talking about something that happened before Tough Enough, and I was like, wait a second. How do you guys know each other? And then they all knew each other. And I was like, what is this? Like, it was so weird that they were all three bikini models, all knew each other. Very small world of bikini modeling, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Huh. Well, it's funny because, you know, being here in Orlando, I went to some of the shows late in the season. Uh-huh. And, like, the one, I think it was 2 weeks left or something before when they went down to the Final Four, Gabby was actually there. And I was surprised because I thought she had gone back home to Brazil. And I don't know if she came back or if she had stayed the entire time. But, like,
she lives in Connecticut. She doesn't live in Brazil.
Okay, so she's now in Connecticut. But she was, like, she came in. I don't know if they brought her in or what. But she was sitting, like, two feet
from me. She's lived in Connecticut for years. But she now lives in Orlando.
Oh, does she now?
Yes.
Okay, so that makes a lot of sense. So, yeah, because she was there. And she was sitting, like, two seats down from me, and, like, she even went and got, like, makeup, like, right before the show went on the air, and I was like, okay, well, they're going to do something with her. And they never did. They never acknowledged her at all. And, like, show got done, and she just walked out with whoever she was there with, you know? I was like, okay.
I don't know if I did not acknowledge her either, but...
Yeah, it was strange, because they had her, like, on one side of the stage, and right before they went on the air, like, no, she needs to be over on this side, and I'm like, okay, well, they're setting something up with her, and then they never did. I was like, I don't know what's going on here. It was really weird.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, between that and, like, Amanda's boyfriend was there for almost every week, so if you went to the shows, her boyfriend was there, because I went... Because, like I said, I went to like the fourth or the fifth week, and I'm sitting there next to a guy, and before the show starts, he's like, oh, yeah, you know, Josh is really cool, and, you know, this. And he's like talking about all the different people. Like, he knew him, and I was like, oh, I go, so you're friends with somebody? And he was like, oh, I'm Amanda's boyfriend. And he was showing up, like, all the time.
He wasn't there for any of the weeks where I was there.
He showed up right after you.
Yeah, maybe I don't know. Amanda has a really cool... supportive relationship. I know she's very independent, so she's definitely not one of those people like, oh my god, come visit me every week. So that's funny that you say that, but they've been dating for like 6 years or something like that. He's cool.
Yeah, it was funny that we kept bumping into each other because, like, we couldn't remember each other's names. We'd be like, hey,
oh, that's funny.
And it would be great when you're sitting on the crowd and, like, during Tough Talk, a couple people in the crowd would start saying something about Amanda, and he would do the shoulder turn and the death stare, like, hey, buddy, watch what you're saying.
That's funny.
I was waiting for a throwdown out in the crowd, which would have been fantastic during Tough Talk.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, he's really cool.
That would have been great. So before we get out of here, let's plug a couple of things. So like we said, you know, you are hosting UFC AfterBuzz TV. So tell everybody where they can find that and when's the show on?
Yeah, every Sunday night at 6 p.m. We go and we talk about the past UFC event that happens on Saturday nights usually. I'm also doing AfterBuzz TV Bar Rescue once in a while. So the best way to follow me is at Tough Daria on Twitter and all your other social media. I've been doing this Periscope thing a lot, so you can follow me on Periscope at Tough Daria, where I guess talk about myself, which is kind of weird. But
yes, it is.
And
I do it every now and then too. I don't think as many people are interested in me as they are in you.
I guess that's what you do. But, yeah, so follow me at Tough Dario on all social media. You can find me at AfterBuzzTV.com doing my show every Sunday night at 6 p.m. And I can guarantee you will see me in the WWE soon enough, guys, because I'm not going to stop until I get there. Thanks for having me, guys.
By the way, real quick, do you still stay in touch with WWE?
Yeah. I will continue to harass the hell out of them until I get what I want. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I have great relations with everyone that I worked with. And yes, I keep all their contact info.
Perfect. So cool. Well, wish you the best of luck, and hopefully we'll see you back there soon. And tell everybody to watch your UFC AfterBuzz TV and follow you on Twitter and see you doing awkward periscopes, I guess.
You just got one more Twitter follower, and I'm getting ready to add you on LinkedIn too. Because
whoa, look at this guy.
Damn. And for everybody else, followed me.
Yeah, I'm not very good at Twitter. I take long sabbaticals from it for no apparent reason. It's weird. I'm a weird guy. What can I say?
That's disappointing, isn't it? My God. Get with the program there.
If it makes you feel any better, you're the only tough enough contestant I follow now. So
that makes me feel a little bit better. Okay, I'm happy now.
Just a little bit better. So, but I want to thank everybody for joining in for the broadcast. Of course, you can subscribe to us here on YouTube. Just click on the subscribe button, and please feel free to share us, like us, and take part in the comments as well. Check us out at BetweenTheRopes.com, and you can subscribe to the podcast there on iTunes or on Stitcher. Make sure you follow us on Between the Ropes as well, and please, if you could, you like what we do, you value what we do, go over to our Patreon account, go to patreon.com/betweentheropes, and if you could support us there, even for as little as $1 a month, it goes a long way in helping us keep doing what we're doing. We appreciate everybody that's been doing that so far. So, Daria, really, once again, appreciate you joining us, and hopefully we can do it again down the line.
Thank you so much, guys. It was so much fun.
You got it. He's Michael Wiseman. I'm Brian Fritz. Thanks again for joining us here. If I can actually get out of this because my mouse just died again. No, it didn't. It's back alive. So thanks again for joining us here for Between the Ropes.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Man, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you. Have a nice day.